cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, well, that is the MKT show. Gareth will be back in a little bit. As Dr. Hanan was saying, was try and get off social media. You know, this whole social media thing is, it is eating into relationships. It is eating into family time. It's also eating into eating time, which is more important.
Oh, shit, I'm late. Sorry, I missed the cue.
It's okay. I'm competent. No need to worry.
Thanks for handling
that. You have a competent number three. Leanne's a competent number two. I'm a great number three.
What were you talking about? How did you fill the gap?
No, I was. I carried on what Dr. Hanan was saying. You know, I finished off with social media. It eats into one of my favorite things, my eating time. I try and stay off it when I'm at home because I like to eat. You know?
Yeah, well.
But on a serious note, it eats into family. It eats into relationships, which.
I thought that
it's cheesy to say it, but now it's so important.
I thought that whole social media conversation was really interesting because I actually posted a clip this weekend. Bill Maher. You know Bill Maher from Real Time. He's awesome. I disagree with some of his politics, but who cares? I mean, I think the guy's a really, really smart individual. He went on a rant about Apple. So it turns out Apple wants to have the ability to snoop through your photographs just to check that you're not a pedophile.
What?
Yeah. This is something they've just launched a little update, which you may or may not be aware of. But just in case you're a pedophile, they're going to go through your cloud and just check out your pictures anyway. So I don't know how you feel about that. Certainly, I have nothing to hide, but it's none of Apple's fucking business to go through my pictures, you know? That really makes me very angry. And they're using this kind of kiddie porn angle as their trump card to be able to just look at all your pictures. Now, I don't want Tim Cook rifling through my stuff. Not that he's going to. I'm not important enough to Tim Cook. But I don't think anyone should be doing this, ever.
Well, that goes to a crazy place. You shouldn't make laws for the minority. Like, then we headed towards, because like what I just said now, imagine somebody snooped into our conversation where I say, you are not allowed to come to my house and whinge. What separates me then from Stalin? You know what I mean?
Right.
How would artificial learning know that I don't mean that I will kill you if you don't come to my house? Because I would imagine it would extrapolate that I'm that person. And now, Jacob Zuma and his henchmen pitch up at my door and say, we heard you want to become Kim Jong-un.
Well, I mean, that's kind of, you know, there's got to be a line, but I think you've just identified exactly where that line is, Mbulelo, is that you don't make laws for the minority. You make laws as a general rule for society, and you hope that most people aren't in the extremes, right? I mean, even if...
And they aren't.
No, they're not. I mean, most of them aren't. Most people are not looking to cause shit and take over and coup d'etats and sedition and, you know, treason and that kind of thing. But you have laws for that already. We have laws. If you find out that someone is doing something criminal online, then you have the right to arrest them already. And even if you have a suspicion that they're doing something illegal online, then you have the right to arrest them and to at least search their computer or whatever. But the idea that someone in Apple, you know, and some just qualified social justice
warrior. Yeah, that's the thing.
Some fucking
they're all interns.
Right. That suddenly they have the master password and they can get into Leanne and Mbulelo and Gareth's iCloud, and they can suddenly, like, they'll find a picture that I sent to Leanne and Mbulelo to make them laugh, and they'll go, well, that's not acceptable. Next thing you know, your device is locked and you've got cops banging on your door just because you told an inappropriate joke. And that could happen. I mean, we've seen stranger things than that happen, right? Anyway, Bill Maher went on about this, and it's worth watching the clip. I actually uploaded it to my Facebook. I'll see if I can't just share it from Cliff Central a bit later on. And you'll get the idea. But his biggest problem is that these devices are, precisely what we were discussing with Dr. Hanan, addictive. And the device is the addictive thing. It's not, you know, if Facebook was only a website, you wouldn't go on it so much. But it's on here. That's the problem. It's on your phone. And he said, you know, when he was a kid, and obviously he's a little bit older than us on the show this morning, but Bill Maher is probably, I don't know if he's probably 60-something by now, or maybe approaching his 60s. from the 50s side. He was saying when he was a kid, he used to love certain TV shows, but it didn't. He couldn't take them with him to bed at night. He couldn't take the TV show in the car with him, you know, and switch it on while he was driving. He couldn't take the TV show to dinner with his friends and then ignore his friends and sit on his phone watching his TV. You know, that's what people do these days. You see these people who go to dinner and they literally ignore each other across the table because their faces are being sucked in by this machine. And I think, well, what's the point of even going out for dinner? No, what's the point of being with people?
Yeah, all people are doing it together. They're swiping through Tinder together or watching TikTok together.
Which you is know, also strange.
Having these get-togethers where you use social media instead of speaking to each other.
But I also think we shouldn't panic. Like, relatively speaking, in the human timeline, smartphones are new. Mm. It's like we aren't actually evolved to deal with these things. And in 100 years' time, they'll just be a part of society. And we don't know where people are smart. Like, eventually, like, we'll hit rock bottom. And, you know, these things are so new. And we always want to figure it out immediately, especially in this day and age. You know, it's like we'll get better at it.
What is
in the long run?
So I mean, do you have rules? Because you got rules for everything, Bolelo. Do you have rules like when people visit you or when you go out for dinner? No phones. Do you impose strict rules and things? Because you are a real autocrat. We know that already. If you were in charge of New Zealand, you'd be worse than Jacinda Ardern. You would. You'd have a ton of rules. So I mean, how do you feel about these things when they happen?
So I have left a date before because she was on her phone and she came back and I told her, listen, I can also stay at home and text. So absolutely with my I don't go to number one. Like I work really, really hard. Yeah, or I like to think I do.
Yeah.
I don't have the time to come and sit with you while you're on your phone. If you've got something better to do, let's not do this. Like I've also got stuff to do. Absolutely, I've
How
got
did I know?
Phones
How did
away.
I know when I asked you this would be the story? You'd have some very, very strict rule and even a story to back it up.
But no, but I will walk away. Like if you're on your phone, like if I because you know what, I respect you enough. If I say let's go to lunch, is that my phone, airplane mode, boom, pocket.
Right.
We're doing what we're doing. Absolutely. You need rules, dude. You need rules.
I try very hard. Even if my phone rings and it's important, like let's say it's family, which I think kind of trumps a lot of things. If I'm sitting with anybody and my phone rings and it is family, I go, excuse me, do you mind if I take this? It's, you know, my sister or my mom or whoever. And even then, I feel bad. So I don't sit there at the table yakking it up while this person has to watch me. I get up and I'll walk away and I'll, you know, come back to the table, hopefully as quickly as possible. I certainly won't have, everything's fine. Yeah, how was your day? I'll be like, I'm at lunch. I'll call you back later or whatever.
Yeah.
But some people have none of those qualms. Huh? They'll be talking to you and they'll go, they'll actually put up their index finger in your face and they'll go just and pick up. Hello. Yeah, how's it? Yeah, no problem. What's been going on? And then they'll carry on as if they were talking to you the whole time and it wasn't rude at all. Or they'll be...
I just hate it when your ears are exposed to their conversation.
Oh, I hate that.
And it's difficult to concentrate on anything else. So, for instance, I was in a work meeting. You know, we were online with our cameras on.
Yeah.
But it was an internal meeting and very informal.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw my mom was calling. You know, if it was a client, I obviously wouldn't have answered. But because it was just us, I muted myself and then quickly answered my mom and said, "Hi, mom, I'm in a meeting. I'll speak to you a little bit later." And I noticed that the two people I was on the work call with they stopped talking and it was almost as if they were listening to me. And then I realized I hadn't muted myself properly.
Oh, shit. Okay.
It must have seemed so rude.
But this.
But speaking of that, I have another cracking story for you quickly.
Go on.
Is to what Leanne's talking about is I cannot stand loud guy on his phone in an airport line or at the shops. So I address it.
Somewhere where you can't get away, right? Like where you can't walk away from their conversation. You're roped in. Or if they're in the car with you and they start having this long ass conversation and sometimes they'll put it on speaker and you're like, this is none of my business. I don't want to be part of this conversation.
Listen, car, you know, I'm generally in the car with somebody I know, blah, blah, blah. They're doing business, whatever. In line when I'm shopping or at the airport. So I will go, if, you know, hey, we should do the big merger and see if Karen can have that sealed by Monday morning, 7 o'clock. See if you can get the paperwork in. And I mean, there's a big bonus in it for all of us. I go up to that guy. I go up to, yeah, no, he's in the airport. He's very important. I've done this before. I will do it.
Oh, do you?
He's in the airport. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Who the hell are you to impose on families and people? No, I will address that immediately.
So what
as well.
Do you make, yes, you embarrass them? Oh, you say, yeah.
No, and you point I walk at up him to them and... on the phone.
Okay.
So while they're screaming on their phone, I go up. He's in the airport. He's very important. Yes.
Aren't you worried about? I yell while. Aren't you worried about someone like that just suddenly like getting really aggressive with you?
I went to boarding school, Chief. Let's go. I'm always okay. ready. I'm
All right.
always ready.
Maybe you're right. Maybe that's the way to do it. So I don't have too many dramatic stories, and I certainly wouldn't go to the lengths you do to embarrass those people. But it does just make me a little bit irked when, you know, when you're in the middle of something and someone goes, excuse me, and they put their finger up and they tell you to just wait while they take their very important call. And also those people who, while you're on the phone to them, consider it okay to like talk to the cashier, you know, like you're busy on the phone with them and you're saying, well, you know, I thought that maybe we could get together on Tuesday, and they go, just make it, you know, make it 18 rand on, and get me three packs of those. Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you. And you're like, what? Hello? Hello? Hello?
It's so strange, but the conversations that I've been forced to listen to always, always involve a man who is asserting his power when it comes to money, wealth, investment, yes. Being a boss.
Ugh.
Yeah. No, the so the deal went down and, listen, guys, this is an important deal.
Some turd.
So annoying. But it's in the same vein of people playing their music loudly in their car, making me listen to their music. Why are they making
someone who drives past your house with their huge bass bin in their Golf Chico, making the whole back of the car jump up and down, and they think, oh, this makes me look cool. No, it doesn't. You're forcing me to listen to your shit music. It's horrible. So I don't know what Michael's talking about here. Michael says, Gareth, you're preempting the big news of the week, which I'm sure we'll discuss when it is released. What's the big news of the week?
No, I think he's trolling what you were saying earlier about meteorologists, etc. I think it's a bit of a troll message. Yeah, I see what he's doing there.
All right.
Well played, Michael.
But he does say later on, we should be able to mute other people. Now, that is a good idea. Imagine if you could actually mute a whole person. Like you,
they must know. They must know that you've muted them.
So it's like a block rather than a mute, because you know you can mute on social media, but people don't know that you've stopped following them.
Do you remember the movie, Adam Sandler's movie, absolute train wreck of a film, but a Click? I don't know if you remember. He had the remote where he could control. Yeah, don't worry about it. Terrible film, but essentially that concept.
Oh, so the concept is terrible that you could actually mute people.
Well, you can kind of control, people with the remote and sort of everything around you. I made it through about half of the film.
But what a great idea. If they made a shitty film out of that, then they really are stupid, because that's a great concept. I think it's an awesome concept. I mean, wouldn't that be fantastic? Basically remote control your whole life from other people around you. Fast forward, rewind. I've often thought that that's God's, like if God has a hobby, his hobby is to park in front of like this whatever screen he's watching us on, probably like some extraordinary 6K immersive virtual reality screen, who knows? And he sits there with his remote and he's like, let's watch that idiot fall off that building again. And he rewinds and he presses play and he goes, Gabriel, you got to come and see this shit. Yeah, call the others. Call the whole lot of them. Tell them they got the day off. They got to come and watch this. Watch this moron. He drives his car right into that wall. And they all sit there and they watch this. Telling you. I mean, obviously, the idea I have of God is not as the supreme, omniscient, omnipotent creature. To me, he's far more human and enjoys dumb stuff like we do. All right, I didn't get to headlines earlier. Do you want to hear some headlines? Are you interested in that? Because I do think we would be in dereliction of duty if we didn't do a couple of headlines this morning. So let's actually pay attention to the world around us instead of just talking nonsense. Cape Town protesters fear mandatory vaccinations. I would be, again, we're on this vaccination discussion, and you know, there are a bunch of people who are supporting this Dr. Susan Forslur, who is in the news a little bit, and she's actually made contact with me and she wants to come on the show. And I've said to her, well, whenever you're ready, you can come and talk to us. But a crowd of anti-vaxxers gathered outside Groote Schuur Hospital. Now, by the way, I don't know that it's fair to call these people anti-vaxxers. Until you actually have interviewed each and every one of them and asked them, like, are you against the polio vaccine? Are you against the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine? Because to call them anti-vaxxers just because they're nervous about this vaccine is not fair. It's just you're lumping them in with a bunch of crackpots, you know. And anti-vaxxers are crackpots. They're nutcases. People who are generally anti-vax are anti-science. We all accept that, right? But we don't know if these people, these people might not be anti-vaxxers. Some of them might be very smart, very together people who are just not willing to take a risk on a certain thing because they've been, I don't know, exposed to information that the rest of us haven't yet encountered. And maybe they're very sensible people. Maybe they're relatives of yours or mine. I don't think it's fair to call them anti-vaxxers just off the bat. Anyway.
But in general.
In general, of course. You know, but, you know, again, there are exceptions to every rule. There were about 100 people who tried gathering on the grounds of the hospital, but asked to move to the perimeter and then escorted away by SAPS and law enforcement. They chanted, "Why are you lying, Cyril? We need jobs, not jabs," which is true, in response to a flyer that circulated this week. This is okay. You know, it wasn't led by any organization. There wasn't some political organization who tried to make this happen. It wasn't one collective of people who specifically sent out a WhatsApp and they all gathered. This was various groups of people. Some of them were anti this vaccine. Some of them were worried about the way that Susan Forslur has been treated in the media, because apparently this woman had the temerity to suggest that we don't know what all the long-term effects of this vaccine are. That's a true thing to say. That's not controversial. She said some other things which are controversial. Some of it is nonsense, obviously, but we need to investigate these things. We need to talk about it. Anyway, a lot of people saying they're passionate about it because they believe human rights are being challenged and overrun. I think we should make our voices heard in terms of the lockdown, frankly. Forget about the vaccine, because if people want to get vaccinated now, they can. It's open to anyone over the age of 18, right, Leanne?
Yes. Correct.
So I want to be very clear about our position on this show, because I think these days it does matter, is that the overwhelming evidence is that getting the vaccine decreases your chances of being hospitalized and getting very sick and certainly of dying. Those are good enough reasons for me to suggest to anybody who's worried that you better get the vaccine rather than not get the vaccine. That's a simple position to take, right? It's not hugely complicated. So get the vaccine, especially if you are a person who's very worried. If your life has been turned upside down and you are fearful of this disease, or you have comorbidities, or you're worried about someone in your family getting it from you, you're still going to be transmissible in some cases, because nothing is 100%. But this thing will reduce, this vaccine will reduce your chances of getting very sick yourself, ending up in hospital, and certainly reduce your chances of dying. That's good enough for me. Like, my parents got it the other day, and I was all for it. I said to them, good. Because now, if anything happens to you, at least we know you did everything you could. Right? Makes sense.
Sure.
That is, to my mind, that's the best position to occupy. And I've thought about it for a long time, and I've listened to people on all sides, and I've paid attention to even the crackpots, even the complete nutcases, the people who are massively pro-vaccine right at the start, who had no idea what was going to happen and who just took government's word for granted. I was listening to those people. I've also listened to the nutcase anti-vaxxers. And to me, those are not sensible positions to occupy. Somewhere in the middle is the right place to be. And I've said to all the people I love and care about, especially if they are older than I am or if they have comorbidities, not that that's a guide at all, but it might be a complicating factor, get it. I mean, it's true that in America, what is it, 4 out of 5 people who have been hospitalized and have died have had one of the comorbidities, whether it's, you know, age, diabetes, heart issues, obesity being the biggest one. And again, I wish that we could be honest about that in South Africa, because we've got a hugely obese population, if you'll pardon that pun, and I'm not being rude or mean here, but we do. We have an enormous, we have a problem with people who are fat in South Africa, and those fat people are at huge risk anyway of all kinds of other problems. So if you're going to, if you're going to be taking your health a little more seriously post-pandemic, let's get South Africa in a state where we're in better shape and we're eating better and we're thinking carefully about what we do with our bodies, because it's not the government's responsibility or my responsibility or some stranger who's paying their medical aid's responsibility to make sure that you're safe and that you're in the best possible health you could be when you obviously don't care about yourself enough. Get the exercise. So let's do what we can before we start asking other people to do things. I think that's fair enough.
And also what we need to do, something that just does offend me is I'm so sick and tired of hearing of people say, I'm a fan of science or not. No. You don't get to be a fan or not. This isn't, what you must say is, I don't understand scientific language, because I don't say I'm a fan of the Spanish language.
Yeah.
No, I either understand it or don't.
Correct.
What you do is you either don't have a rudimentary understanding mm-hmm. of science at the most elementary level, and that's fine. That's what you must say. Stop saying, I'm not a fan of vaccines. You got no clue what you're talking about. And I mean,
right.
I've got a rudimentary understanding of science, so I would never say I'm a fan of it.
No.
But I have an elementary understanding, so I can engage with the language.
I mean, frankly, though, but who cares if you're a fan? I mean, we should all be fans of science. The fact that we've managed to live longer, live healthier, science has helped us to gain a foothold into immortality. We have incredible technology at our disposal. All of that stuff should make you a fan, whether you like it or not. it almost goes without saying that we should all be fans of science, but that doesn't necessarily help with the truth of it. And your opinion on something doesn't shift that needle either way. Speaking of fans, big story. A lot of people very worried. OnlyFans is going to ban sexually explicit content. Now, forgive me.
What's the point?
Right. I'm not a huge acolyte of OnlyFans. The little bit that I know about it is stuff we've spoken about on this show. Apparently, OnlyFans is just porn. So if you ban sexually explicit content on OnlyFans, what's left on OnlyFans? What's the point? What is it for?
Where are dumb hot chicks going to make money now?
Yeah, exactly.
What are these people going to do? I mean,
I'm a huge fan of hot chick, by the way. I just want to know, what are they going to do now?
There are no jobs for these people. I mean, what are they going to do when they have to quit their OnlyFans? Are they charging you to like see their ass shake or whatever it is that they're doing there? Does anyone know what this means for the economy, the online economy? This is very bad news.
Thank you.
Right? I mean, how stupid are OnlyFans? By the way, who's in charge of that business? Because they've already made a walloping amount of money. Maybe they just know they know the authorities are coming after them. But this is such a great idea. I wish it was my idea, because you don't have to actually make the content. You don't have to be the person who's putting your titty pictures out there or whatever. You just get a percentage of everything that they get. And some of these people have been making thousands and thousands of dollars a month. So apparently some of the big OnlyFans stars are able to live off of this, like more than YouTube stars. They're able to make a really good living, like buy a property, you know, finance a car, all that kind of shit through this OnlyFans. Now, if they're going to ban sexually explicit content, we're not going to listen to these people philosophize. We're not going to hear what their thoughts on the vaccine are. We're not going to hear about their great new invention that's going to, you know, make humanity a different entity for the next 100 years. we're going there. If we're going to OnlyFans, we're going to see them naked. So ban the explicit sexual stuff. What's left? Anybody know?
Porn site.
And who's doing the banning, by the way?
Hmm.
Why? Why are they banning? Like, this is the least of our problems. Hot chicks being naked, we're going to find a platform for them. Like, well, OnlyFans, please don't think you are an exclusive place. The internet's massive.
Sure. Surely the people will just start their own.
They'll just, yes. I mean, or privatize your Instagram account.
Or just
Bob's your uncle.
Or just create your own, like, you know, cliffcentral.com. Just create your own .com and then people can go there and pay a subscription and you can show them your titties or whatever.
What's their reason? I'd love to know. What's OnlyFans' reason?
Everybody's
are
very,
they clearing up their
well,
PR?
You think we're confused. I mean, you see how the OnlyFans people are confused because there was so much noise about this on social media over the weekend. And this story is from, let me just read the story as it's written here. This is from the BBC. They say, the subscription site OnlyFans, known for its adult content, has announced it will block sexually explicit photos and videos from the 1st of October. People will still be able to post nude content on the site, but this will be consistent with OnlyFans policies. So apparently it's come after
maybe
pressure.
Maybe it's like
it's come after
nudity is different to sexually explicit.
Well, there's a very fine line. It's gray. I mean, this is not black and white, right? It's very hard to how do you separate the nudity from the sexual content? Because sometimes, I mean, like, I get that an artistic nude, and you could have a picture of a nude woman on your wall. It's not pornography. I get that, right? I understand that some art involves nudity, and nudity is just a state of being for some humans, and it's not necessarily at all linked to sex. But on OnlyFans, that's a very blurry line. I don't know that that's going to work. Anyway, apparently they say that it's come after pressure from banking partners of the site. They've grown during the pandemic. They say they had 130 million users. In order to ensure the long-term sustainability of our platform and continue to host an inclusive community of creators and fans, we must evolve our content guidelines, they've said. The London-based social media site enables its creators to post nude videos and photos and charge subscribers for tips or a monthly fee. Creators can post a range of content from cooking to fitness videos, but it is best known for pornography. Yeah, who's going there to subscribe to someone fucking cooking?
To get a coronation chicken recipe.
Do me a favor. Anyway.
You see, so maybe it's... Because I don't use the platform as a fan, and certainly not as a creator, but maybe it's just getting a bit too far in terms of perhaps inserting things into things, you know.
Oh, is that what you think?
Yeah. Oh, is that what's going on?
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking.
Jeez, wow, right, Leanne, wow.
Okay, that's all.
As soon as you go beyond just standing there as a nude person and you start interacting with yourself, I think that's when it becomes problematic.
Fair enough.
Then
live with that.
Those things
I can live
still,
with what you're saying there.
Yeah, but those things are still going to be on the internet. You know, there's some very dark places on the internet and people will find them anyway. So if OnlyFans is going to turn these people away, then it's going to go to dark, dangerous places. And I wouldn't be surprised if we suddenly see an upsurge in OnlyFans type like copy sites, almost like you see these sites that are doing the same thing OnlyFans and are doing now without the rules, because those people will pick up all the slack and they'll make all the money. So fine, maybe this is the time for Leanne and Bulelo and I to start our own OnlyFans here, and we won't
Absolutely.
Stop you can post whatever
separately, not together.
Yeah, whatever sick shit you want, you go for it.
If you're unbelievably good looking, I feel it is my duty
to make it possible
to vet all of that content
to make money. I mean, listen, some people, I hate to say this, but it is true. Some people, all they've got is their looks. So this is like,
you shouldn't hate to say that. It's very true. And
gold mine.
We never disabuse them of that, by the way, so that they don't tend to age too well, but it is very true. A lot of people, thank God I've never had that problem. I've always said I've got to think hard. Thank the Lord.
All right, so it's time for Collectomania. This is our chance every week to check in with one or two collectors, find out what they're up to. We've spoken to so many amazing people already who have the most insane, fantastic, incredible, sexy, exciting collections. And today is no exception to that. We last spoke to Kim Jade on the show back in 2019 when she was still a presenter on MTV Base. Do you remember? Today she's back for another reason. That is to show off her amazing sneaker collection. This is something we are like twins in this respect, Kim. I'm so excited to talk to you about this. I have a sneaker obsession too. I haven't been excited like this to talk about a collection for weeks. Not that we've had boring ones, but this one's especially appealing to me because it's something I have in common with her. It's, of course, brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. And you can find out about the Scoin Shop and the South African Gold Coin Exchange by going to cliffcentral.com and following the links, or just visit them on their own site. They're amazing. And if you think it's time for you to invest in a little bit of gold or silver, even platinum, you can do this through them. You know that. You can go on and become a collector right now. So Kim is a model. She's a TV presenter, an influencer. She's originally from Zim, but she's also gearing up for the second season of Kicking It with Kim Jade. That's a YouTube show that features renowned personalities in the entertainment industry speaking about their love of sneakers. So this is the perfect time to bring her in and to hear from her. Hey, Kim, how the hell are you?
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, you look gorgeous for this time of the morning, but then that goes
without saying. Listen, I got cute just for you, Gareth. I'm ready.
Wow. I mean, what can I say? This is fantastic. Listen, I see boxes and boxes and boxes in the background there. I see a couple of them displayed prominently on the shelves.
It's a problem.
Sneakers. It's a problem, right? Do you think you're addicted?
Definitely, but I think there are worse addictions you could have.
Yeah, sure.
So this one, not too bad.
So when did it start?
Geez, I've been collecting for, I think, over 6 years now. It really started because a brand started seeding me sneakers when I was still a model, and I didn't really know much about them. And then when I would be wearing these expensive sneakers, people are like, because guys really know their stuff, yeah, as you would know. They're like, damn, talk to me about the colorway. Oh, you just got that. And I was like, okay, this is a thing. I need to know what I'm talking about if I'm going to be wearing these shoes. And I started researching and then traveling the world and then following all these sneaker accounts. And that's kind of how I got hooked.
Well, it looks like you've got an impressive collection. We'll get into the details of that in a moment. But I was wearing a pair of sneakers. See, this friend of mine who's also obsessed, he called me up one day and he's like, listen, I ordered a pair of sneakers from the US. They've just arrived. Mm-hmm. They're a half a size too big for me. Do you want them? And I'll give them to you at X price. Like, the fact that we actually know each other's shoe size is ridiculous.
It's so cute.
This happens when you're this happens when you're a collector of these sorts of things. So I was like, yeah, how much are you going to give them to me for? So he said, oh, like, and listen, when you get into these collections and these very rare sneakers, it can be pricey. He gave me like a 40% discount because he said to send it back, it's like not worth it. And you know, then
and importing tax for sneakers is crazy. It's insane.
So he sold them to me, and I don't even wear these things. They're so fantastic. They're beautiful. They're in loads of colors. And then I went.
Do you mind if I ask what they are? What is the sneaker?
I'm not going to say it now. I'll go and fetch them just now and show you. That's easy.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, for that.
But the other day, someone posted an Instagram of like a pair of sneakers that I hadn't seen before. I had to be very, very composed to not go on there and buy them immediately. Scary, man.
What is your, do you have a specific brand or specific sneaker that you like?
Adidas is mostly, that makes up the biggest part of the collection. I see lots of Nike in your collection.
Listen, okay, so I think I can actually turn the cam so you guys can see. So this is my sneaker closet. It starts from there and goes all the way around.
Look at this. Oh, wow.
It's a bit ridiculous, I'm not going to lie. But it is what it is. We're here. And now I'm on your show. Also, your OnlyFans chat was so I was deep engaged because I know so many girls that are struggling, going to struggle financially because of it.
You do, right? And that's girls here in South Africa who are doing OnlyFans.
There's a lot of girls in South Africa and influencers that make a lot of money with OnlyFans.
All right. Well, before we go down the OnlyFans path. How many how many pairs of sneakers do you reckon you have?
Look, easily over 150, I think. I did a cleanse in December and gave away 70 pairs, so this is me scaling down.
Who did you give them away to?
I work with the Special Olympics here in South Africa. Wow. So I gave the sneakers to, they can give it to the athletes and to some of the kids.
That's amazing. All right, I'm going to show some pictures here. Tell us about this pair of sneakers here. This is the one directly behind
you. Oh, amazing. Okay, so I actually have them right here.
Yeah.
These are one of my grails. So Gareth, as a sneakerhead, you know what a grail is. A grail is very personal to each person.
Yeah.
That is your sneaker that you've always wanted to get. It has a special meaning and it's really sentimental. This happens to be the J Balvin Jordan 1 collab. They were released over a year ago. J Balvin is the first Latino artist in history to do a collaboration with the Jordan brand, so it's very iconic. He actually wore them on stage when he performed at the Super Bowl with J-Lo. J-Lo brought him on. Mm-hmm. He came in these Jordans. No one obviously had seen them before. And they were like, "Wow, these are crazy." And J-Lo actually asked me, she asked him, was like, "J Balvin, I need a pair as soon as you're done, as soon as they're out." So they're very special. And I got gifted these last year because they're very expensive. I can't afford them.
you can't afford them, but someone gave them to you. How much do those cost?
Yeah. These ones go for over, you can find them for as much as 30,000 rand. I have a pair that's like, was going at one point. So this is the Off-White Jordan sale.
Mm.
Off-White is obviously Virgil Abloh's brand. Virgil is the creative director of Louis Vuitton.
Mm-hmm.
So this collaboration at one point was going for 52,000 rand for a single pair of sneakers, which is a little bit crazy, but I managed to buy these. I got them in New York and had them imported. And I wore them to Sneaker Exchange. And Sneaker Exchange is a major community event for the sneakerheads. So we all come together and we buy, sell, trade. And I wore them to Sneaker Exchange. And all the boys were like, "Damn, Kim!" I said, "Yes, respect."
I love it. All right. Now, what is the most interesting thing about this for you? Is it just that this is an endless thing because they're always bringing out new ones? You never really can complete your collection. There's always going to be a pair of sneakers that you don't have. I mean, there's never, no one in the world, even the richest people that exist, can't afford to buy all the sneakers because you've got to find a place to put them.
Sure.
You can't wear them all.
Look, I've been invited to speak at so many different events and panels about the sneaker culture, trying to explain it to people that don't get it because they were like, "Kim, there's no way you'll ever wear all 150 pairs of shoes in a year," type of thing.
Mm.
And the research into it is actually very interesting, Gareth. If you look into it, especially in the States, they've done numerous studies. And one of the research papers that I read was trying to understand why people collect sneakers. And it's tied into so many different things. Is number one, they talk about the fact that every sneakerhead has a personal connection to a sneaker.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes them back to their childhood of they saw their dad rocking these kicks, or they really come from struggle and they always wanted to be able to afford this pair of kicks. And now as an adult, they go and buy these very rare shoes. Number two, it's tied into their personal icons, right? So many people buy the Jordan brand because Michael Jordan did for African American culture and for sports on a global level what no one else had ever done before.
Right.
And so buying a Jordan and wearing a Jordan represents him, represents what he's done, you know, especially for people of color. The same thing with Yeezys. Kanye is a goat in the music industry and fashion industry. And so being able to own a pair of sneakers that he designs, especially because his silhouettes are crazy. I don't know if you've seen, these are the foam runners. This is one of Kanye's.
That is horrific.
Yeezys is a foam runner. It is. It's people compare it to a Croc. This
that's
is another
horrific.
One of the Yeezy sneakers. I'm sure you can see.
Right, I've seen those two.
His silhouette is crazy, and he pushes
so clunky.
It.
Ugh.
It's different.
Yeah.
My point is that by being able to wear a pair of sneakers that your favorite artist or your favorite sports superstar, basketball player, football player, it connects the fans to their icons. And then the final thing is the community. Gareth, you and I don't really know each other. We've chatted at maybe events or in interviews, but the fact that we have a shared love and understanding for the sneaker culture, we have a shared terminology.
Yeah.
You talk about grails and drops and L's and W's. These are things that connect people from all over the world,
yeah,
right? Because we all use the same terminology. That's the definition of community, right? So as much as people don't understand it or don't respect it or think it's a waste of money, for us in the community, it really connects us all over the world.
I mean, you've even started a YouTube channel with just sneakers, and this just shows you how huge the interest in this is. In South Africa, do you have any idea of how big the sneaker community is?
It's really big and growing, especially amongst the youngest generation now, like the Gen Ys and Gen Xs. Mm-hmm. But globally, the sneaker industry is worth over $72 billion, which is insane. If you just look at reseller market, like a normal pair of Jordans goes for about 2,500 Rand. You can resell them for up to as much as 12,000 Rand in the same day. Just because they sell out instantly. That's how valuable they are. So for me personally, I don't plan on keeping these kicks forever. I definitely plan on selling them. I can buy a house with the sneakers in this room right now.
That's unbelievable.
So for me, it is a long-term investment as well as being a passion right now.
So I know Leanne and Bulelo and many of the people who are listening to us now may be thinking, these people are insane.
It's crazy.
This is footwear.
Yeah,
right?
It's
ridiculous.
Look, let's put things into perspective. My first car cost 30,000 Rand.
Yeah.
but I remember when I was into trends as you know, as a teenager. And also, I don't know if it has some kind of effect, but in the south of Joburg, we were very proud of our of our footwear.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it was all about, you know, having the best brand name and when they came out first.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I completely identify with it. It's just not something that I would practice anymore.
Yeah,
so I think
for sure.
It's amazing.
Each his own.
Yeah.
Well, somebody says here, alarm bells. Where's Dr. Hanan? He's our psychologist. So Dad's...
Dr. Hanan is my personal therapist.
Oh, wow,
I'm not
okay.
exaggerating.
Have you ever spoken?
Love him. But also, he's wearing Yeezys in our sessions. And I'm like, Hanan, you're wearing Yeezys.
So he's also obsessed. So he can't call you... he can't say that you're addicted and you're dangerously obsessed with sneakers because he is too clear.
No.
All right.
Yes.
What happens in a relationship where somebody sees that you've got this obsessive collection, and does this chase people away? I mean, even friends, do they go, oof, I love Kim, but she's insane?
I think it's the opposite. I think when people come to my house, the first thing they do is come to my sneaker room and snap pictures in here. And they're like, I wish I was your size so I would steal your sneakers. Guys, it can be intimidating, although it's more respect, to be honest, because the sneaker community is a male-dominated boys club. It's mostly boys, and there's not a lot of girls that really know what they're talking about when it comes to sneakers and sneaker collection and the history of it and things like that. So it's mostly like, oh, props.
Well, Derek says Travis Scott Jordans are sick. Tracy says, what sneakers would you not be seen dead in? That's an interesting question.
Oh, that's a good one. Look, I'm not specific to brands, although I have a lot of Jordans. I wear everything, but it really is about personal taste. It's not about more sneakers. It's more, I'm not a Crocs girl.
Ugh.
Which is ironic because everyone compares Yeezys to Crocs, like the Yeezy Foam Runners. but yeah, I'm not really a Crocs.
So you asked me earlier, like, what are my favorite shoes? I went on a spending spree with Adidas NMDs, which are like, that's a specific range. They've got shoes. They are so sexy. They're so fantastic. You get them in thousands of colors, and like, you know, I looked at a pair of them that I've been wearing, and they're starting to look really shitty now. But I still love them more than like a brand. If you gave me a brand new pair of, you know, of let's say the most expensive leather dress shoes you could get, and you gave me a really sexy pair of Adidas NMDs, I'll take the NMDs any day.
Listen, also there's a trend now to beat up your sneakers. To everyone that's watching, beating up your sneakers is when you wear your sneakers a lot and they're worn and like they look like they've been through shit.
Obviously,
there's a trend now where people buy brand new sneakers and intentionally paint them, crease them to make them look worn. It's like a thing. So Gareth, you're probably untrained by wearing your beat up NMDs.
Well, I mean, one of my friends actually does treatments on them. So he'll paint them, he'll put like gold speckles on the sides. It's like amazing. And they really look fantastic. And this is his whole business. Sure. He does this it's part of one of the things that he does for a living. He makes some seriously good money out of it too, because he buys the shoes.
Yeah, sneaker customizing.
And then he makes them one of a kind, and then people will pay, you know, an extra grand for them. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Someone says here, this reminds me of some of the classics. Ewing 33s, Reebok Pumps, Air Max 90s. I mean, Leanne, that's your gen.
Yeah, for us, it was Patrick earrings. You had to have a pair of those. Yeah. And Fila was really, really big as well during my growing up phase. So where do they sit at the moment, Fila and Patrick earrings?
Fila's coming back in South Africa.
Fila's very back.
Yeah, and it's a really affordable brand. And the shoes and clothes are very comfortable. So that's nice. I think the thing that puts a lot of people off is that the reseller market for Jordan 1s is so insane that the average 12-year-old or 14-year-old can't even afford them because their parents are like, guys, I'm not going to spend this much money on shoes. School fees are like bills to pay. We're not going to spend 12,000 rand on sneakers. But they can afford to buy you a pair of Fila's or Reeboks or Adidas. So it's very important to have that range of brands and price ranges.
I mean, I know that some of them are really expensive, but honestly, it's such a personal thing that sometimes people will want the really cheap things. I mean, I know people who buy those really cheap tennis shoes, you know, those plain canvas, you know, and they look amazing and they look after them so beautifully. Where do you go to get your sneakers cleaned?
Ooh, I clean my own sneakers. Right. I don't take them in.
How do you do that? How do you clean them? Because this is a whole separate conversation.
Oh, yes, it's a whole conversation how to clean your sneakers. But if you look on the top brands' websites, because they can't push a specific product, they do tell you, especially if like you go on the Nike.com website, for your leather sneakers, the best thing to do is to get some warm water and put a little bit of fabric detergent. Mm-hmm. So what you use to wash your clothes, because it's very gentle.
Right.
And wipe them with a soft cloth. That's the best way to clean them. And then for the soles, if you want to get the dirt, get rid of the dirt, you just use a toothbrush or any kind of, you know, brush to wash your shoes, just to wash underneath. Don't use any bleach products.
No. Obviously,
I'm not going to name brands, but be very careful because it will stain the leather and it will turn the sole from white to yellow.
Just quickly, the obvious thing that a lot of people might be thinking at this point is that for you to take your whole collection out and start cleaning it, it could be like a week or two. So you obviously clean them. You clean them when you've used them and you put them back in the boxes to protect them?
Definitely. That's why I keep the boxes, because like I said, one day I do plan on reselling my collection, not now, but a sneaker is actually more valuable if it comes in the original box. So for storage purposes and for value purposes, it's best to keep your box if you want to sell your sneakers one day.
Sure. Okay. How do you know when it's time to get rid of them if they're really starting to look disheveled and shitty, but you still love them? Because that's what I need to do this week. I need to bury some of mine,
personal.
Throw them away.
It's very personal. You get rid of your kicks when it's time. I've got a pair of my very first pair of sneakers that I ever bought was a pair of classic Air Force One high tops. By the way, guys, did you know that Dr. Dre has over 600 pairs of Air Force Ones, the lows? Wow. He only wears Air Force One, all white, white on white. He has an entire room and it's just his Air Force Ones. Like no other color, no other brand, like nothing. That's him for life.
That's beautiful.
So it's a classic shoe and it's one of Nike's best sellers, which is crazy and amazing up to this day.
Martine says, Kim, you have such a big heart for donating too. Bless you. Yeah, that's really like 70 pairs of your sneakers that you gave away to, you said the Paralympics?
Special Olympics. I've been an ambassador with him for 5 years. Yeah.
Corona's Boring says, to be honest, those 30K sneakers look better and more reliable than my first car.
Yeah. You'd probably be able to sell these for more money than your first car. Real chat.
Hadmin says, this is insane, but I am actually really impressed. Yeah, that's a good question.
I appreciate it. Yeah. You see, the boys, they stand. They see what I'm talking about.
That's right.
Please, let me talk about my show really quickly. It's go a shameless it. Plug right
go,
now.
Go. Tell us.
Season 2 of Kicking It with Kim Jade is coming up. And the show is, yes, it brings together sneaker lovers, but every guest has a specific topic. Mm-hmm. Last year, we had DJ Clark Kent, who I'm sure you guys know, is the person that discovered Jay-Z and got him signed to his first record label. Right. He's one of the OG DJs in the hip-hop scene in New York. So our season had incredible guests. We had Zayd Osman, who founded Sneaker Exchange. We had Durban Gogo. We had just really amazing guests. And this season is going to be even better. We have Blackie, DJ Doo-Wop. We have Costa Tech. Awesome. It's just a really fun show. And every guest, like I said, has their own topic of conversation. So we're not going to be doing the, tell me about your latest album. What inspired it? Nah, right. We want to know the real stuff. So are we talking about Black Lives Matter? Are we talking about female entrepreneurs? Are we talking about how the music industry is completely changing? You know, we don't have the big festivals anymore. How are artists surviving? Because people's cars got repoed. Like, yeah, it's a real thing.
You think OnlyFans are the only people who are losing? There are lots of artists who lost their money in the
last. Artists struggled. They really, really struggled.
So, Kim.
So, yes.
Where do you buy your sneakers? Because if you buy them on your own online, I mean, sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. delivery is a problem in South Africa. As you said, import mm-hmm. taxes are high. Is there are there a few shops? I mean, is there a place worth giving a plug to? Is there an exchange where you can go where you know you can get the sneakers you want? Are there people who can bring them in Definitely. For you? Like, what's the plan here? Because it can get expensive.
Yes, and nowadays you can't just go to Nike and just buy the shoe you want the day it drops, because there are queues, and there's raffles and you never win a raffle. So if you can't actually get it from the original store, so from a Nike or an Adidas, the best thing to do is to reach out to a reputable reseller. This is very tricky nowadays because there are so many fake Jordans, fake Yeezys, fake sneakers out there. So my personal plug is Buy My Sneaker. I use Buy My Sneaker and I use Flex Kings, because I'll literally just send them a picture of the sneaker that I want and ask them, guys, can you get it? And they have connects all over the world. So they're people that specifically are in London. Cool, Kim Jade in South Africa wants this new Yeezy.
Give me that again. Cool, what's that called? I'm writing this shit down.
I'll DM at Buy My Sneaker
and
Flex Kings ZA.
Okay.
So they're my plugs to get authentic original sneakers, because that's very important. Mm. Also, who has the time to be dealing with customs, immigration? It took over a month just for me to get these ambush dunks.
Wow.
So this is a collaboration between a Japanese designer, I think.
That's
and
awesome.
They're super crazy. Oh, dude, they're so amazing. But it took a good 3 months just to bring the sneaker in. And I paid over 10 grand just to freaking customs. So it's not worth it, dude. Go to a reputable reseller. You'll pay a little bit of a markup, but it will save you time, effort, and a lot of money.
Look at this cool picture of you with all your sneakers in the background. That's so that is so fantastic. And look,
that's my sneaker closet. My home, my baby.
What are those?
These are Air Force Air Jordan 1s.
Right.
Are they? They're a cool...
Are there they are behind you. Really? It's just next to. I think they're
really?
Just. Yeah, they're just.
Oh,
next,
yeah.
There.
Duh.
See, sorry, I have an eye for this shit. I'm actually.
You really do. I got these actually off of Shesha at the OG price, which was amazing because you can't get shoes at proper prices anymore. And
so
Jordan has started doing sneakers that are just for females because they realize they need to cater to the market. So I don't know if you see, got a whole bunch of bling on there. And the colorway is really cool. It's like a beetroot leather, and the sole is also beetroot.
We
can talk sneakers all day, guys. It's so much fun.
So Bulelo and Leanne, this stuff doesn't grab you.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck.
No, clearly.
Excuse me,
clearly. No, look at them.
No, I mean, like I say, it used to. It used to be a thing for me. And then... other things took over in my life and there were other priorities. But sure. I certainly understand it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And everybody has a thing, you know?
Psilocide says, and here I have been buying Abibas and Mikeys. Fake ones.
Listen, no shame. If you make your Abibas look fire, do you, boo?
But the Hong Kong stuff is a big problem, right? I mean, there's so much fake stuff out there.
For sure. And I mean, it's not only in the footwear market. Apparel, the same. Bags, the same. Makeup, the same. It's a multi-billion dollar industry because there are people that are willing to pay a lot less for a lesser quality product. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think when you become more financially stable and you can afford it, you will go for the real thing.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. All right. I can't believe that we've been talking. It feels like 5 minutes, but we've been talking about this for half an hour, and I could talk to you some more about it.
I'm so sorry.
Right, I'll send you a picture of my my little collection. I'm not by any means. I don't have a whole room like you do, but I've had to split them between different cupboards and different places. So I don't want people thinking I'm as crazy as I am, you know. So let them walk in and think I'm normal.
Keep it on the down low.
Correct. And then
it's like your dirty secret.
if you were watching me every day and you saw the sneakers I'd put on, you'd go, ooh, he's got a lot of sneakers. But otherwise you'd never know. I wouldn't want people.
Gareth, real question. When you're dressing yourself in the morning, do you go sneakers and then the rest of the outfit?
Yeah, pretty much. That's me. I got you. We're in the same WhatsApp group. I love it. Kim, very nice to see you. And thank you for sharing your passion for your
collection. Thank you for having
collection.
Me.
It's so awesome.
It was so much fun, guys. Thank you so much.
If you loved this, go and subscribe to Kim's channel and you can go watch her YouTube show. Season 2 is launching, Kicking It with Kim Jade. And you can find out more about sneakers there. There's going to be plenty of interesting stuff to talk to with plenty of interesting people. I love it. Thank you so much, Kim. Good to see you.
Thank you, guys. God bless.
Awesome. And you. So there she is. Isn't she great? Such energy. And I just love great. When people love what they do. She just loves doing this stuff. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's what I love about all these collections is just the passion behind it. It's really great. It's especially in times like we're in now, which may be a little bit darker and we're worrying about bigger things.
Here's something interesting. Marco says the disabled community love their sneakers, like myself, and they last longer if you can't walk and run because they look better and you don't get them all dirty and fucked up. So that's interesting. But that's a huge part of this. It's like all the different communities within the sneaker community. It's crazy. So this is, of course, brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. You can find out more about them by going to cliffcentral.com too. And tell us about your collection. We want to know what you collect. You can email me, gareth@cliffcentral.com, and we will get hold of you. And you can tell us about your crazy and wild and wacky obsessions. Don't be ashamed. This is where we share this stuff. And we're allowed to.
It's a safe space.
It's a safe space. Exactly. Yeah, there you go. All right. It's 8 o'clock. Have a happy day. We will see you tomorrow, bright and early, at 6 a.m. Or as Jacinda Ardern would say, it sucks.
Sucks.
Bye, everybody.
Let the boys play rugby, Jacinda.
CliffCentral.com.